Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to the latest edition of NWCR Radio. We've got a lot of good information for you, and we're going to end the show with the best reason for not letting the government give you the vaccine or the chip that they plan on putting in us. Now on with the show.
Everyone's in on the Great Reset. Well, almost everyone. There's one guy who's got the power to do something to stop it, and you know exactly where I'm going. And they made a mistake. They tried to get Trump on their side, so they invited Donald Trump to Davos, I think a couple of times. But in January, when Donald Trump, I think, really began to see the beast that he was up against, he went to Davos, to the World Economic Forum, and he stuck a MAGA finger in their eye.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
2 days after Donald Trump gave that speech, the 89-year-old leftist weirdo billionaire George Soros made an emergency intervention where, at Davos, once again, warning that the U.S. 2020 election will determine the, quote, fate of the whole world. Now, in the context of Davos, take a look at this one more time. This is a month after Donald Trump addressed Davos and stuck the MAGA finger in their face. Here's what Francis, the Vatican, and Jeffrey Sachs had to say in response.
And it is a dangerous country right now. It will be absolutely dangerous if Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election.
Francis invited this guy to the Amazon Senate as an honored guest and advisor. He's also Bernie Sanders' advisor. What's he doing in the Vatican? Why is this guy, who is a promoter for a socialist, out and out socialist, Bernie Sanders, what's he doing advising the Pope? Why does he have entree to the Vatican, friends? Sachs supports abortion and contraception, but that's not a problem for the Vatican. For the Vatican, for Pope Francis, and for his friends at the UN, Donald Trump is the problem, obviously, friends.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Do you get it? Do you see why there's so much hate for Trump? Because with all of his faults, again, he's the capitalist. He's not the globalist. He never will be one of them, which is why he pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Donald Trump pulled the United States out of the World Health Organization. That's Bill Gates and company. And now he's threatening to pull the United States out of the World Trade Organization. People say, yeah, well, Donald Trump got married twice. He's a bad guy. Really? He's right in the face of the demons on this, friends. Nobody ever said he was a saint. He's knocking the sacred cows of the United Nations down all over the world right now.
The General Assembly routinely votes 185 against the United States on almost everything right now.
And you remember, speaking of the United Nations, in November of 2019, again, right before COVID landed, Trump went to the UN, on the floor of the General Assembly, and he declared war on globalism.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
And shortly after the speech at the UN, Donald Trump delivered, what do you think happened? The coronavirus was unleashed on the world, and Trump's booming U.S. economy went on life support. Do you think that was an accident? So when they tell you, when they tell all of us to stay home, wear your mask, so grandma doesn't get sick, please understand what's really going on here. They don't care about your grandmother. They don't care about old people, these people. They don't care about babies. They want them aborted. So so that they can save the common home. Abort babies, millions of them all over the world. They don't care about babies. They don't care about old people. In fact, if you want to save your grandma, tell the globalists to stay the hell away from her. You remember how some of them, like Cuomo and characters like this, were running COVID recovering patients through nursing homes? That's how much they care about grandma. And the name of the game now is to bring the United States economy to its knees, get it out of the way, so that everyone will want the Great Reset. Make the new normal so intolerably abnormal that even you and I, maybe, you know, at some point in the near future, will be begging for the vaccines, because we'll be driven crazy by that point. Begging for whatever else is going to keep us safe, according to our jailers and our handlers and our zookeepers. You see? That's what they want. That's why they keep using this term, new normal. You know what we do to fight back? Go to work. Go back to school. If you're healthy, take off the mask. And for heaven's sake, go back to church and pray that Trump wins in November. That's what the reset was on. That's what the Russia hoax was all about. That's what the impeachment hoax was all about, don't you see? For 4 years, they've been trying to stop this man, because if he strengthens America, if he makes it great again, if he brings the economy back again, the reset won't happen. The New World Order is going to be set way back. Who knows when they're going to have another COVID opportunity like this one again, and they know it. So ask yourselves why they hate this man. These folks, these men, they hate God. They hate the unborn. They hate the traditional family. They hate you. And they hate Donald Trump, whose political opponents, by the way, right now are knocking statues of saints to the ground. They're beating up cops, and they're burning flags. You say you don't like Trump. I'm sorry, friends, but who cares? That doesn't really matter anymore. But you think of Trump's personality or his tweets. Look at the big picture. The choice is simple, friends. Stand with America right now, or fall with the New World Order in the not-so-distant future. There's no other choice. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV, and we'll see you next week.
That I played mainly because, folks, we don't have any other choice. Biden gets elected in 2020 in November, in a couple of months. We're going to lose this nation. Kamala Harris has already told us many things about what she wants to do. And mark my words here, folks, if Biden wins, the president will be Kamala Harris. She is not someone that is going to take second place, especially to somebody that she doesn't like. She knows how bad his situation is. And she's already done things to us, like when the vote for protecting already born babies from being legally murdered in abortions, she voted against that. In other words, she doesn't care about the babies. Just like she doesn't care about grandma, she doesn't care about you, she doesn't care about me. She would much rather send the troops in, the stormtroopers, and take us all out if it was up to her. That woman has absolutely no conscience when it comes to what she wants to do. She wants to take over the United States. She wants to destroy the Constitution. She wants to destroy the rule of law. She wants to destroy the police departments. She wants to destroy our Bill of Rights. Biden wins, folks. She will do it.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to Hour 1 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert the Infidel Garding, as we strive hard to bring you the correct news as it actually happens, with no liberal spin or unbiased lies that are parroted in the lame streamlined media. Using the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason, in this unreasonable world comes NWCR Radio on Conservative Nation Media from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where America always wins. And now, here's Robert. Welcome to the show, folks, on this Friday, the 14th of August. Half of August is almost over, folks. At the rate this is going, before we know it, it's going to be November. Here are some of the things that you need to know before you go and accept this whole idea about mail-in ballots. From Western Journal comes this one, and the author of the story, Cal Thomas, started it out by saying, "I begin with a personal story to make a greater point. 2 weeks ago, I mailed an 8x10-inch envelope from a Miami post office to an address in New York State. The postage was correct, as was the address and zip code. 1 week passed and the recipient emailed me to say the envelope had not arrived. So I mailed another one. Last week he wrote to say that the second one had arrived. A few days after that, he wrote again to say the one mailed earlier had finally been delivered after a 10-day delay. Normally a first-class mailing would not have taken more than 3 business days. Multiply my experience by the 100 million that could be expected from an all-mail-in election, and the problem should be obvious to everyone. President Trump has said that the potential for fraud with all-mail-in voting is enormous, and it is. While he has said that the absentee ballots are safer, New York Daily News reported systematic failures at the state Board of Elections and the U.S. Postal Service resulted in nearly 1 in 10 absentee ballots cast in the June 23rd primary being invalidated. That's 1 in 10, folks. That comes out to 84,000 out of nearly 319,000 ballots cast. So 84,000 votes were not allowed. Many Democrats claim the fear over mail-in ballots is misplaced, but the evidence proves otherwise, and in close elections, especially presidential elections, a few votes either way in key states can decide the winner. And that's what the Democrats are looking at. In the 2018 congressional election, officials in Broward County, Florida, had trouble finding 2,040 ballots. The South Florida Sun Sentinel reported, quote, "The county's eternally beleaguered supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes, said they either misplaced, misfiled, or mixed in with another stack," unquote. The Associated Press recently reported hundreds of thousands of applications for mail-in ballots that a voter advocacy group sent to voters in Virginia had the wrong return addresses, adding another complication for the state election officials, who are already hard-pressed to pull off a smooth election in a pandemic. In Clark County, Nevada, which includes Las Vegas, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, a conservative election integrity watchdog firm, reported, according to the Western Journal, universal mail-in balloting resulting in 1 out of every 6 ballots being undeliverable. In the recent primary, over 223,000 ballots bounced because the addresses were incorrect or outdated. CBS This Morning ran a small test on mail-in ballots. the program set up a P.O. box and sent 100 mock ballots to it. A few days later, the show sent 100 more. Only 97% of the first batch arrived after a week, and 21% of the second batch had not arrived after 4 days. The show stated the obvious, that in close elections, such incidences could make a difference. Then there is a possibility of fraud. During the 2018 election campaign, the New York Post reported, quote, homeless people on Los Angeles' Skid Row were bribed with cash or cigarettes in exchange for bogus and forged signatures in a large-scale voter fraud scheme, unquote. And that's according to state prosecutors. There are many other examples of voting problems in several states. Republicans are mostly opposed to universal vote by mail. The Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank based in Washington, D.C., claims the process invites fraud and cites over 1,000 voter fraud convictions and a study showing that 28 million mail-in ballots are unaccounted for over the last decade. For these reasons, mail-in balloting should be limited and thoroughly checked. Voters can practice all the things medical experts tell us to do and vote in person. It is a civic duty and a privilege. It will also help reduce errors and fraud and improve the credibility and acceptance of the results. Of course, we all know no matter what happens, Democrats will never accept the results if they lose. And I have many, many things that prove that. Al Gore, when he ran against Trump, called for recount after recount. The Coleman-Franken race in Minnesota. Franken lost by over 10,000 votes. He called for recount after recount after recount after recount, and every time found more votes in his favor. Not one was found for Coleman. Coleman lost that race. Franken won. Thank God he's no longer in our Senate. But that's the things that we're talking about here, folks, and we have to realize this, or this whole thing is going to end up in a bad light, and we are all going to lose our freedoms, and we're losing them quickly already as I speak. We will be right back after these important messages. You are listening to Conservative Nation Media, where freedom-loving Americans congregate. No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years. Their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. Most people do not realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, and coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you is expensive. Traveling home for emergencies is too. The military doesn't cover these, and the list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for families, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. That is where we come in. SAMFAM, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for active duty military by helping their families. We also want to assist retired veterans in the same way. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for your help. Checks made out to SAMFAM, Inc. and sent to 18 Eastern Avenue, SACO, Maine, 04072. That's SACO, Maine, 04072. Your donation will go to helping these families. Make sure to let us know where you heard about this so we can know how you found out about our services. Your donations are tax deductible, and may God bless you. Welcome to CNN's newest show, NADA with Mango, or National Association of Disgruntled Americans. We know there are many out here who are disgruntled and mad about what is going on in our great nation, and how the left seems hell-bent on destroying all of our freedoms and our liberties while destroying the greatest nation on the face of the earth. NADA with Mango, based out of Texas, started earlier this year, and then after 5 episodes, Chris and his family lost their home, and they have been working to find another one. As soon as is possible, Chris Mango will be back with his show here on Conservative Nation Media on Wednesday evenings at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Join Chris for a rousing hoo-ha for America with NADA with Mango on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with CNN, where America always wins. Favorites, and it's one that I know if the Democrats heard the name of it, which is Guns, Guns, Guns by the Guess Who, they would hate that one too. But one of the things that I keep talking about is Chicago and how deadly that city is. But the thing that happened this last week was something that just blew a lot of people away, and the media never talked about it. They really didn't say much about it. Tucker Carlson on Fox did, though, and here's what he had to say about it.
Craziness, but it seems now almost normal. Violence is a feature of daily life at this point in the nation's capital. Over the weekend, 21 people were shot in a single incident in Washington. More than half of them were women. One was a D.C. police officer. It was the single biggest mass shooting in America this year, and yet you probably heard nothing about it. Members of Congress didn't lock arms on the House floor to demand an end to the gun violence. CNN didn't book a procession of weepy teenage gun control activists or an extended town hall meeting. News organizations barely touched the story, and when they did, they moved on fast. It wouldn't help the Biden campaign to talk about it, so they didn't talk about it. As far as we can tell, neither CNN nor MSNBC even mentioned it today. 21 people shot in a group in our capital city, and they acted like it didn't happen. But it did happen. We're showing it to you on the screen right now. 21 African Americans shot by gunmen, yet the media spent all weekend telling you about how Simon Cowell fell off his electric bike in Malibu. Because really, Black Lives Matter. MSNBC wants you to know that. It's grotesque. But it's now the rule. Dead bodies don't count unless they are politically useful dead bodies. Last month, the gang members shot 15 people outside a funeral home in Chicago. It looked like Fallujah. We played some of the video of it on this show. It was very upsetting. The other channels did not play it. None of the primetime hosts on CNN or MSNBC even mentioned the shooting. They didn't care. Politicians didn't care either. Muriel Bowser is the mayor of Washington, D.C. Bowser claims to care about black lives very much. She ordered the slogan Black Lives Matter, in fact, painted in yellow on the road leading to the White House, just to underscore how much she cares. So how did Muriel Bowser respond when 21 African Americans were gunned down in her city? Well, she talked about her coronavirus lockdowns. Bowser has banned gatherings in the city of more than 50 people, and apparently there were more than that at the cookout where the shooting occurred. This enraged Muriel Bowser. Here's what the mayor said about the shooting yesterday, quote, "It's important as a community that we have a zero tolerance for this kind of activity," end quote. Now, to be perfectly clear, Mayor Bowser was not talking about the mass shootings. When she said we need zero tolerance, Bowser is happy to tolerate violence. She does every day. She often encourages violence. What Bowser won't put up with is citizens violating her lockdown orders. Bowser's chief of police, a man called Peter Newsham, reiterated that point. Quote, "We can't have these large gatherings in the city," the chief said. In other words, shootings are acceptable as long as the police don't commit them. But disobey our corona decrees and we will come for you. The media wholeheartedly agree with this, of course. Violence does not bother them. They encourage it regularly. Disobedience bothers them. This weekend, motorcycle riders, mostly on Harley-Davidsons, from all over the country gathered in Sturgis, South Dakota for their annual rally, the Sturgis Rally. Some of them forgot their masks. This outraged our news media. The people on motorcycles were too masculine, too patriotic, therefore too unlikely to vote for Joe Biden to go uncriticized. So the media spent a lot of the weekend trying to shame the bikers into disappearing. In other words, as some of the poorest people in Washington bled onto the sidewalk, this is what your news anchors talked about.
A bike rally is drawing tens of thousands of people to a small town in South Dakota for what doctors warn could turn into a coronavirus super spreader event.
Not seeing a lot of masks there. Very little social distancing is what we're hearing from our team on the ground.
Tell people what the odds are, tell people what the risks and the dangers are, and let them decide and expect them to be responsible.
To others, that event, a reckless affront to common sense and a likely coronavirus super spreader.
Oh, super spreaders. In other words, men who are unapologetically male. They hate that. Meanwhile, the city of Washington, back in the real world, continued to spiral toward chaos. In Georgetown, one of the richest, most liberal neighborhoods in the city, certainly in the country, a group of thugs marched down residential streets in the middle of the night to make certain that no one was sleeping. People who live there must have been confused. In Georgetown, Black Lives Matter yard signs are about as common as designer dog breeds, very common. The residents apparently thought they'd bought themselves peace by paying their indulgences with the correct political slogans, but they hadn't. The fact their neighborhood is still safe is now considered a crime, and the mob made that very clear. Did you see that footage on CNN? Oh, you didn't. You saw footage of super spreaders at Sturgis. How dare they ride motorcycles without masks? Meanwhile, back in Georgetown, again, the real world, just in case the residents there didn't feel sufficiently threatened, the mob then barricaded Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's the main artery from Georgetown out of the city. Blocking main arteries out of cities is an obvious threat to public safety. It's far more dangerous than any over-attended cookout. But police didn't stop it. They helped the mob. And once again, the media collectively ignored all of it. And what exactly did the liberal, passive, heavily elderly residents of Georgetown do to deserve this kind of abuse and harassment from a mob of Joe Biden voters? That's the core question. But no one on television wanted to talk about that. So again, they just ignored the entire thing. They're doing it all over the country. Story after story ignored, disappeared down the memory hole because it's politically inconvenient. In Los Angeles, for example, a city council member called Mike Bonin voted to slash the LAPD budget by $150 million. He's very opposed to the police. But that didn't stop him from calling the police. Since April, it turns out that cops have been called to Bonin's home 8 separate times, often to deal with, surprise, surprise, protesters. Bonin's defense is that he didn't make the calls. No. Somehow, the LAPD, with collusion from right-wing elements, made the calls. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. But it's good enough for the newspapers in Los Angeles. They're not covering the story. It's not a story. Right. Guy who votes to defund the police calls them 8 times to keep the lunatics from coming through his front door. Not a story. Okay. Last Thursday, meanwhile, in Portland, Oregon, a city that effectively no longer has a government, rioters threw paint on an elderly woman. What was her crime? She made the mistake of trying to stop them from destroying a building. Here's why this is so interesting. As the mob attacked her, they explained their agenda. Quote, "This isn't your world anymore," they shouted. "Put your mask on!" Boy, does that tell you everything. Meanwhile, in the city of Chicago, rioters have dropped any pretense of ideology. Sure, they'll vote for Joe Biden, obviously, but this isn't about the election. They just want to steal things. And in effect, authorities there, as they are in so many places, are allowing them to do that. Early this morning, caravans of looters sacked stores in downtown Chicago. Here's part of it. What country is this? And what's the justification for that? There's always a story at the bottom of these things that the media repeat, allow them to believe it was justified. The pretext for that theft and destruction you just saw was a false report that a teenager had been executed by the police. It was a lie, as it turned out. It usually is a lie. In fact, a 20-year-old had been killed after shooting at the police. Whatever. We're so used to violence justified by lies that few people seem to notice the difference. And speaking of, just this weekend, Joe Biden honored Michael Brown. That was the man killed in Ferguson, Missouri, after he violently attacked a store owner on tape and then a cop. Joe Biden apparently doesn't remember that part. He seems to consider Michael Brown a martyr. It's hard to know who in America still believes these lies. Most people no longer seem to believe anything they hear from politicians. When everything is political, we learn to trust nothing. But one thing that is real and will always be real is the debris left behind. Bullet holes are real. So are burned stores. So are boarded up windows and terrified neighbors. That will always be real. And we have it. So what will be the aftermath of all of this? What are America's cities going to look like a year from now? There's no question people will flee Georgetown. They may have BLM signs in their driveways. It doesn't mean they want screaming BLM lunatics on their streets. They don't. Nobody does, actually, no matter what they tell you. No matter what color they are, no one likes that. That's true for people in Georgetown, in Portland, Oregon, in San Francisco, in Chicago, New York, any other place where order and decency have disappeared. People will not live long with chaos. No matter what they tell you, no matter what signs they put in their yard, they will leave. And many of them have already left. We're about to see one of the great demographic shifts in American history. Unless the insanity stops, and soon, our biggest cities will revert to what they were 50 years ago. Broke, dirty, and dangerous. On the bright side, we'll have resolved the gentrification problem.
You know, and the problem with what he was saying there is the fact that many of our cities have already reverted to that. And not one Democrat is getting up on stage and saying this needs to stop. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the people who are rioting, all need to go to jail. All need to go to prison. This is ridiculous. 20 years ago, I found an article. Actually, it was a video of an official in Chicago in 1968 saying that anybody who was caught trying to burn down buildings, violently riot and hurt people, would be shot on the spot. What happened to Chicago? It seems they don't care about stuff like that anymore. They just want to help these looters and these criminals pass off as normal, everyday people who only want the best for America. But they don't. This whole idea that Washington, D.C., this last weekend, had 22 people killed in one incident, and they were all black. Where was Black Lives Matter on this? They were nowhere to be found. Where was Antifa on this? They were nowhere to be found. Where was NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC? They were nowhere to be found. Because it did not fit their agenda. They wanted to push an agenda on us, try to get the people to turn away from Trump. And they couldn't do it at first because Trump had our economy booming. He had our economy coming back from what Obama had done to it. And there wasn't even a hesitation in it. It just started going up as soon as he went into office. They tried impeachment. They tried collusion, the Russian collusion. They tried everything that they could think of. Then like that first audio that I played, why the globalists hate Trump. They hate him because he's a businessman. He is a capitalist. And globalists say that capitalism is on its way out. And the Great Reset is coming. Well, of course the Great Reset is coming. Look at what's happening around this nation. Nobody is doing anything to stop it. And as long as nobody is doing anything to stop it, then we have all these people calling for the Great Reset. We have to do this in order to save this country. No, we don't. We just have to take our laws back. We just have to put our police back where they were, where they're supposed to be, and let them do their jobs. A lot of these cities don't have police anymore because they've gotten rid of them to the point where the police can't do anything. So who's going out and risking their lives? The average person is going out and confronting these people. In my last show, I mentioned Fort Collins, Colorado. Antifa tried to run into that town and the people ran them right back out. It happened in San Diego. The people ran them out. And mark my words, folks, if we don't start straightening this country up and start taking this country back and putting the police back in the line where they're supposed to be, there's going to be many more deaths than anyone ever imagined because the people are going to rise up and this is not going to be taken easily. This whole idea that we can sit there and just let the police take care of this matter when the police are not being allowed to is idiotic at best. And we have to start looking at this whole thing because if we don't, folks, we're going to lose this country and we're going to lose it fast. The whole world is watching right now. It's just like that those protests in 1968. I think this was in Chicago too, where the crowd started chanting, "The whole world's watching, the whole world's watching." Yeah, it was, but it is now too. They're watching America being torn apart. And our enemies, they're laughing their asses off over this. They don't have to do a damn thing to America because Americans are doing it for them. We will be right back after these important messages. For a truthful change of pace, tune into Conservative Nation Media, where America is the good guy and illegals and terrorists are not. With CNN, you get not just one, not two, but three great shows. The one I want to talk about today is Black by Color Only with Southwest Vincent Brown, based out of Durham, North Carolina. Life by Color Only is Conservative Nation Media's second show of the week on Saturdays. Right now, Black by Color Only is on hiatus until September, as Vince needed some time off to spend with his family. And of course, family is important, no matter what the Democrats have to say about it. So starting again in September, Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown will be airing on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We can't wait for Black by Color Only to restart on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Welcome to NWCR, or New Wise Conservatism Radio, CNM's longest-running and flagship show, with your host, Robert D. Infidel Garding, from behind the silver microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this increasingly unreasonable world. From current news to what this nation needs to get back on the right track, you will hear it here with clarity and with no political correct jargon to confuse you. NWCR has been with CNM since 2013, and in September we will be celebrating our 7th anniversary with the network. We air on Blog Talk Radio at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays and Fridays, so we can help bring you the news to help make the liberal minds explode and the lemming wannabes in our nation scratch their head in bewilderment. That is NWCR Radio on CNM, two nights a week, where America always wins. We started the show with was the audio that we have, why globalists hate Donald Trump. Well, another reason that they hate Donald Trump is that he's not falling for the lies and the rhetoric that the left is constantly pushing, and the media is falling right along with them. It just isn't happening. And the things that are going on really kind of is bewildering a nation. The other day, 3 days after pressure from conservatives about the execution-style murder of a 5-year-old North Carolina boy, Cannon Hinnant, and a 218-word blurb posted Friday morning, CNN finally covered it. They didn't cover it when it happened. They didn't care to. They didn't care to because the little boy was murdered by a black man, and the little boy was white. So, of course, CNN didn't see any reason to cover it because it didn't fit their agenda. But on Sunday, last Sunday night, 25-year-old Darius Sessoms allegedly ran up to Cannon while the boy was playing on his bike in his front yard and shot him in the head while his two sisters, aged 7 and 8, looked on. According to a report Thursday night on Fox News, it's suspected that Sessoms, who lives next door to the victim's father, was upset that Cannon rode his bike on his lawn earlier in the day. Is that any frickin' reason to kill a little 5-year-old boy? According to the leftists, it is. But medical attention could not save the child, and Cannon was pronounced dead at a nearby medical center. Sessoms was apprehended on Monday and has been charged with first-degree murder. Good. I hope somebody comes up to him and gets right in his face and says, "Was it worth it, asshole?" As noted by the Daily Wire, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, NPR, The Washington Post, and MSNBC had all neglected to cover the attack as of Thursday. That was yesterday. Fox was one of the only mainstream outlets to cover the tragic news. I covered it on my Tuesday show. So even I beat all of those channels of the NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, and NPR, The Washington Post, and MSNBC. I even beat them by at least 3 days. But this prompted prominent conservatives to question the mainstream media blackout on Cannon's murder, sparking a hashtag say his name. Daily Wire podcast host Matt Walsh and author Ryan Cherdusky were among the first conservatives to draw attention to the case and the media blackout. In a viral tweet on Tuesday, Walsh wrote, quote, "Say his name. 5-year-old Cannon Hannant was executed in cold blood while riding his bike. The accused killer is Darius Sessoms. He allegedly walked up to the boy and shot him dead in front of his sisters," unquote. Reverse the races, and this is the only thing anyone talks about for a month, Walsh posted. Absolutely the truth here. We need justice for five-year-old Cannon Hannant, who was murdered in cold blood, he said on Tuesday. 3 days later, CNN reported the murder early in the morning via CNN.com and CNN International. They finally posted, "Police have charged a 25-year-old man with the first-degree murder after they say he shot and killed a 5-year-old boy last week in Wilson, North Carolina." Really, it took them that long? Said police have charged a 25-year-old man with first-degree murder after they say he shot and killed a 5-year-old boy last week in Wilson, North Carolina. That's what their report said. Austin Hinnett told CNN affiliate WRAL he was inside the home when his son Cannon was playing outside and was shot. CNN added, finally. Hinnett says he ran outside and scooped up the injured child and held him in his arms. "I screamed, 'Somebody, please help me. Somebody help me. Help, please help me save my son.' I was looking at him as I picked up Cannon, as I was picking up Cannon, and I was so full of rage that I could not leave my son's side," Mr. Hinnett recalled. "I just wanted to be with my son." As of Friday morning, NBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, NPR, The Washington Post, and MSNBC have all yet to cover the shooting of young Cannon. So I'm beating them again. Folks, this is sad. You had a 5-year-old boy killed by somebody, and just because that 5-year-old boy is not black, just because the man who killed him was black, the media won't touch it. And I'll say this again, folks. They are not the media. They are just a bunch of gossip mongers who will only tell the things that they feel will help their agenda. This would not have, so they still have not even reported on it. And if that doesn't make you sad in your heart, then I don't know what does. It makes me mad. I've been in printing and newspaper printing all my life, practically. Since 1976, I have been in printing. And it shames me to the core that my chosen field would hide this kind of thing from the people. When it's news they're supposed to be reporting, but the only thing they'll report on is white on black violence. Never black on black. Always white on black. Never black on white. They're just a bunch of gossip mongers, and I hate every one of them. Acosta, who couldn't tell the truth if it walked up to him, introduced itself, and smacked him across the face. Don Lemon, another one. All of these people, including the people in our Congress, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Probably none of them have even given it a thought either. This whole thing is just sad, folks. It really is sad that we have to hold the media accountable for what they're doing. We hold them accountable, but they are not holding themselves accountable. They don't freaking care. They have their agenda, after all, and it isn't telling the truth. It isn't reporting the news. It's being gossip rags and telling everybody what they think of Trump and what they think of the motorcyclists who rode into Sturgis, North Dakota for a bike rally. That caused a supercell of infection there, don't you know? And then we have Cuomo. Remember this?
If you are upset by what we have done, be upset at me. County executive did not do this. The village mayor did not do this. The city mayor did not make these decisions. I made these decisions. These were all state-ordered rules.
That kind of thing will make the news. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden telling everybody that if they're elected to the White House in November, they will bring America back from the abyss that Trump has created. Leaving out the main fact that it was the Democrats who did this. Everything was planned. Everything that happened was planned to do exactly what it did to this economy. They did it. Everything was there. It was all planned. It was planned to push the agenda that Trump could not run this nation. And when they couldn't lie them their way into it with the stories that they used with impeachment, collusion with the Russians, P-gate, remember that one? Whole bunch of other things, including Biden's son. None of that works. So after Trump announced to the world, essentially, that globalists will not win. Capitalism is the way to go. They decided that shortly after that, that's when coronavirus was pushed on us. The things that we are actually allowing in this country amaze me. There's been so much stuff that I have put out, so much stuff that Sean Hannity has put out, that Rush Limbaugh has put out, that Douglas V. Gibbs in California has put out, that Mark Levin has put out, and Dan Bongino has put out. Nobody should know or even be able to consider what the Democrats are saying is true. Because it's not. And it's like I have said before, they wouldn't know the truth if it smacked them across the face while introducing itself to them. We have Cuomo saying that the buck stops on his desk. He's the one who caused, he's the one who did what he did in New York. Ever since he said that, folks, it's been Trump's fault. It's been the Republicans' fault. Everyone but him.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
You are listening to Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, I Am the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless. From photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employees. That's I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, at 505-317-8741. Or email us at gardingr@reagan.com. That's GARDINGR@REAGAN.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all. Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Rook Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://dp/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. This one that I had started talking about earlier today, but never really got into it. Kamala Harris voted against protecting already born babies from being legally murdered. On Tuesday, presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden announced South California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. By doing so, he solidified the most liberal, anti-life, anti-family ticket in American history. Harris has served as California's junior senator since 2017. She previously served as California's attorney general from 2011 to 2017 and as district attorney of San Francisco from 2004 to 2011. Throughout her career, Harris has been a champion for abortion and a leading advocate for liberal policies that harm family and suppress religious freedom. So she's one of these ones who's saying, you cannot go out and vote. You cannot go out. You cannot go out and go to church. No, you can't do that. She's probably one of these ones that said that this motorcycle rally in Sturgis was something bad to go for, too. But on issues concerning sexuality and religious freedom, religious liberty, Harris is an original co-sponsor of the Equality Act, legislation that would make sexual orientation and gender identity specifically protected in civil rights law and severely undermine religious freedom for people of all faiths. Earlier this summer, Harris praised the dangerous Supreme Court decision of Bostick versus Clayton County that redefined sex to include sexual orientation and gender identity under Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So they're changing things that are already there, too. As Attorney General, Harris refused to defend California's state constitutional amendment that defined marriage as being between a man and a woman when it was challenged in court. So she refused to defend that. In 2013, in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned Proposition 8 and allowed same-sex marriages to proceed in California. Harris celebrated the decision and officiated the first same-sex marriage in San Francisco. On abortion, Harris has voted against every pro-life piece of legislation she could, including bills with bipartisan support. For example, earlier this year, she voted against the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Act, which would have protected unborn babies from abortion procedures after a point at which they can feel pain, or 20 weeks. Harris also voted against the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would have required doctors present during a failed abortion, an abortion that results in the birth of a living infant, to provide the same level of care that would be offered to any other baby at the same stage of development. She voted against that. Harris voted against Pain Capable in 2018 and Born Alive in 2019 as well. She also voted against the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion and Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act that would have codified the Hyde Amendment and provided abortion coverage and prohibited abortion coverage in Obamacare. Harris is also an original co-sponsor of the Global HER Act, which would permanently repeal the Mexico City policy. In her brief run for president, she campaigned on a series of extreme anti-life positions, including codifying Roe versus Wade into law, requiring preclearance for state abortion laws, repealing the Hyde Amendment, repealing the Mexico City policy, preserving federal funding for Planned Parenthood, and banning abstinence-only sex education. I don't know. During Harris's tenure as Attorney General, David Daleiden and the Center for Medical Progress released undercover videos that exposed Planned Parenthood for the illegal sale of aborted fetal tissue. Rather than prosecute Planned Parenthood, Harris raided the home of Daleiden, confiscating his hard drive because he had investigated Planned Parenthood, a donor to Harris's political campaign. Harris also attacked the religious beliefs of recent nominees to the federal judiciary, like you know, we all know what happened to with the latest one there, the one Kavanaugh. In 2018, during the confirmation hearing for Brian Buescher, Harris implied that the nominee's membership in the Knights of Columbus, a Catholic charitable organization, precluded him from serving on the federal bench. Asking about the Knights' views on abortion and marriage, Harris suggested that opposition to abortion and support for a biblical understanding of marriage disqualified Buescher from serving on the district court. So this woman is anti-God too, apparently. But the one thing that I had mentioned that I was going to play in the last section of my show was an audio that I had found on the man who developed the chip that is going to be used in the coming vaccine. And yes, the chip is already there. We already have it. It's already available and has already been used in many people. But here's what he said about this.
My responsibility was project leader or the senior project engineer. We began to work on the design of a microchip that, when it was completed, was 0.75 millimeters in diameter, 7 millimeters long. It was the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. Again, I want to say that I was not a Christian and there were no Christians there. They said they wanted this to have a power source and be able to emit a signal. And they told us they wanted us to use lithium as a battery source. Lithium's used in watch batteries, it's used in heart pacemaker batteries, it's used in a lot of places. I designed into this microchip a little charging circuit that would charge that battery. This sounds like a lot of technical things coming together, but if you'll bear with me 1 minute, you'll see what God has laid out about this microchip. When we discovered that we needed to be able to charge that battery, I needed a temperature change, a change in temperature, to cause current to flow through that little charging circuit that would charge the battery. So we began to investigate and find out where in the body does the temperature change the most rapidly. We spent over $1 million in taxpayer money, and when the results came back, there was a lot of information. We divided it up amongst three teams and then came back together with that information. It was determined that there were two places in the body that were ideal for the microchip. One was just below the hairline on the forehead. Every mother checks their child's temperature right here. So we could have paid the mothers $1 million and saved the... I never saw a mother check their child's temperature on their ankle. Always right here. The other place was the hand, the right hand preferred, because most people are right-handed. This didn't bother me, and it didn't bother anybody else on the team. The hand seemed a good place. Nobody wanted it here. And so the design work, everything was completed. The microchip was done. You're seeing it now on some of the Discovery Channel presentations. There are people who have received it already. It is real. It's not something that's coming way down the road. They gave me a Bible. They told me not to read the book of Revelation. They said the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. So I waited, and I didn't read the book of Revelation for quite some time. Then one day I came to Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I didn't like what I saw. I went back and looked up the word mark. I went to the Strong's Concordance. And I found that John had used three words for the word mark. Charagma, charicater, and charax. That was from the Greek. I looked at those words. They talked about a scratch or an etching. They talked about a lot of things. And I said, God, this isn't it. We didn't do it. He said, go to the word for 666. The word is chixastigma. In the Greek, it says to go to 4742 as a cross. The last half of the word chixastigma. And when I looked at what it said, it says stizo, i.e. to stick, to prick, a mark incised or punched into for recognition of ownership. I thought about the little injection tool. The end of it is called an incisor. I began to weep and I began to cry and I said, oh God, what have we done? I couldn't believe that this lined up with what we had developed. And I began to run from God. I didn't run away from the church, I ran into the church. I tried to do as many things as I could to atone for this. But I want to tell you something, as God is my witness here tonight, this got in the way. Money got in the way. I had beautiful homes overlooking the lake. I had all the things that I wanted. And I ran because of the money. My ability to go and get $250,000 in research money took me away from telling the message. I ran for many years. What I want to tell you is that this is real. The microchip implant is real. Credit cards are failing. They can be counterfeited. The new smart card can be counterfeited. They can be stolen, they can be lost, all kinds of things can happen to a card. But you cannot lose your hand. Very quickly they're going to move to this being in the hand. And I tell you as a Christian, you cannot take this. No matter what anybody says, God's word says you cannot take it. No matter what they try to talk you into, God's word says don't take it. In Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's very simple. God's word says to do not take it. Today there have been over 15,000 babies that have been given the positive identification, the microchip. Many companies are using the microchip as identification in their top-level employees. The Immigration Naturalization Service has a better passport, the human hand. So many of these things are all around us. We talk about the signs of the New World Order. God has spelled out in His Word just exactly what's going on today in the New World Order. Satan desires to have a one world government. From the time he fell, he said, I want a one world government. He wants to replace God. And so we see a government put together by men, a one world government. The signs of the times are all around us.
Yeah, exactly. The signs of the times are all around us. Now, there are ways that you can refuse this with the vaccine. You can always tell them, I do not know what's in your vaccine. I do not believe your vaccine is safe. And they won't test it, so they can't even tell you if it's safe or not. You can say, I know many vaccines have been found to contain toxic adjuvants and toxic form materials, which they have. And this actually suggests intentional contamination of vaccines with toxic agents. You tell them, I know that many vaccines are not effective and actually cause ailment they are supposed to keep from happening. We've seen that with several vaccines. I had Peggy Hall on my show last week. She talked about those things. The vaccine for polio. Many thousands of people died over that. Now they want to give us a vaccine for a virus that has a 99.5% recovery rate. There's no logic in that. But you can tell them. I know that vaccine death and injury statistics and information are suppressed by the government, in which pharmaceutical regulatory agencies are largely run and controlled by pharma industry executives, loyalists, and lobbyists. You can tell them, I know that vaccines kill hundreds of thousands of people per year. You can also tell them that you know that the companies that are putting out these vaccines for everybody to take have been put on a silver platter or on a pedestal. You cannot sue them if something goes wrong and somebody in your family dies or your child dies or your husband dies or your wife dies. You can't sue them. They are not liable. That should throw a red flag up on it right then and there. But we have people like George Soros telling us that right now America, because of Trump, is the most dangerous country in the world. And that thankfully his reign of terror will end in 2020 when he's voted out. We need to prove that idiot wrong. Bill Gates, he's not even a doctor, but he is the one who's funding all of this stuff. He is the one who's pushing these vaccines. It's his company that's pushing the vaccines. And with the vaccine will come that chip. The best thing to do is tell them no. There are so many reasons why you can tell them no. Right now, the biggest one is that they can't be sued if something goes wrong. Why not? And the only reason that comes to my mind on that one is if they can't be sued, they know that this is going to be bad. They know exactly what it's going to do. So they put all these legal things in place so that you cannot be sued. And to me, that is the biggest red flag of all. If there was nothing wrong with this vaccine, why would they do this to make sure that the people who put this thing together couldn't be sued? The reason is because they know many thousands of people are going to die because of it. And people, if you have to go into hiding to keep from taking it, that would be the thing to do. I would do it. And somehow or another, I would figure out a way to get this word out, even if that happened. There's always a way to do it. And as long as we have the Constitution, as long as Trump is in the office, in the White House, and as long as we get smart and start voting these Democrats and these socialists and these left-leaning Republicans out of office, the better off this country will be and the faster this country can get back to being America the Great. There are so many things going on today that most people won't even look to see what is happening, why it's happening. They'll just listen to the news. And the sad part about all that is that most of the news they listen to, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of the ones that I mentioned earlier. When I was talking about that five-year-old boy that got shot and killed execution style by the neighbor. In that article I had read, it essentially said that none of them have reported on it yet. Hell, I reported on it Tuesday, so I actually beat every one of them. And I'm reporting on it today again, so that means I've beat them twice in 1 week. I've beat CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS. But they don't care about that because not many people will hear this show. And now Fauci says there is no reason Americans cannot vote in person in November. Really? That, to me, is pretty awesome. But they're not going to report that anywhere in any newspaper of the lamestream lying media. They won't do it. And you'd think that if Fauci, the left's darling, is saying there is no reason Americans cannot vote in November in person, that they would just drop it and say, okay, fine. Forget the mail-in ballots. Forget all of this stuff. We've lost the battle. Everybody can vote in November. But that's not going to happen. Because nobody is going to print that story. And the only reason why I found it is because I found it on Parler. And it actually has who wrote it, where it came from, what it is. But the lamestream lying media will not report on that. Because it does not fit their agenda. I am glad that we got to hear today's show. And if you weren't here during most of the show, I know one person is in the on the phone. It looks like the same number as last week, so I didn't even try to answer the phone because last week I answered it two or three times, and nobody answered. So they're most likely just here to listen. And I normally don't answer the phone if it's just a 111-111-1111 number. Usually when somebody calls in with that number, they just want to listen. And I'm glad they're there. But we are running out of time on our show today. We're glad that you were here. And we will be back on Tuesday for our next show. Chris Mango of Nada with Mango is planning his next show. So we've got another one coming up on one of these Wednesdays coming up. And Uncle Bing Fisher, who has been on this show and who used to be part of Conservative Nation Media, is rattling at the saber and trying to get himself his show going back up again. I'm not sure if it's going to be called American by Design like it used to be, but we can't wait to have him back. He is one of these professionals who Conservative Nation Media just truly misses, and we are looking forward to him maybe being back soon, and I hope he does. But we are glad that you were all here today, and we can always end the show with, you know, the same thing we always do. As a friend of mine used to always say, we will not be ruled. And that only holds true if we don't allow it to happen. And from everything that we've seen on TV and the riots in Portland and the riots in Minneapolis and the riots in Chicago and New York and all over this nation, too many are allowing it to happen. And until Americans wake up and start fighting back for their country, I will just keep on trying to put the truth in there and let them know what is going on. So God bless you all. God bless our troops. God bless America. And I hope to see you all again on Tuesday. And we will see you then. We've got a new ending theme song. It's by Buddy Brown. It's called We Are 911. It's a great song. And I will see you again on Tuesday. Have a good day. You all.